Sunday the 17th of December 2017, 6:30 Carol Service. Sermon title, Make God a Priority. There was no specific Bible reading for this service. The talk is by Reverend Martin Court, and his talk began with a movie clip of the Yellow Brick Road sequence from The Wizard of Oz.
What do you call a magician in Australia?
The Wizard of Oz.
You've got to be quicker than that, if I'm honest with you. You've got to be quicker than that. We love it, don't we? Christmas is a time of films, isn't it? And I love the old... I think the old films are better. I mean, I'm normally in and around Love Actually, Notting Hill, that kind of stuff. I just about go back to Judy Garland. She trips her way, dances her way along the Yellow Brick Road to find the Wizard of Oz. She's been whisked away from her home, Dorothy, whisked away from her home in Kansas, living with her uncle and aunt, by a storm, and she's dumped into this foreign land, and she does not know how to get home. And of course, the way to get home is to get hold of the Wizard of Oz, and he's going to take her in the hot air balloon. And I'm skipping over the film very quickly, but we get to that point where she's just about to get in the hot air balloon and get back home at last, when Toto, her dog, spies a cat. And as a leopard can't change its spots, neither can a dog stop chasing cats. And Toto is off. And the suspense is killing us. What's she going to do? Is she going to go for the hot air balloon and go home but leave her dog? Or is she going to miss the chance of going home and go and find her dog? Grown men have cried, I'm telling you. Think of it, you can't get home. What would that be like? Ah, she's lost everything. Everything that she loves, but you and I are a step ahead because we've seen the film. And we know that there's this good witch, Glinda, who's going to come, and she's going to tell Dorothy how she's always had the ability to get home. How does she do that? She's got them shoes, hasn't she? She's wearing these magical shoes. You've got to click your heels 3 times and repeat the phrase, there's no place like home. And before she knows it, by the grace of God, she's whisked away again and landed back safe and sound with uncle and aunt in Kansas, with joys and smiles and all of that, just as the credits roll. What a film. What a film. I wonder where home is for you. I wonder where you call home, the place you were born maybe, the place where your roots are, a country, a town, the place maybe where your parents are. Maybe it was your first flat, your first house, the place you first moved into when you got freedom at last. Maybe it's not about bricks and mortar at all, maybe it's simply where the people you love are, maybe wherever they are, maybe that's home for you. I'm aware that for some, home was not a good place. Over Christmas, our theme this year is Make Room. And I'm aware that there are people here tonight who didn't have that luxury when they were at home. Nobody made room for them. Maybe home doesn't bring back good memories. Another film that I love is The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith. I don't know if you remember, he's a salesman. And he's chasing after a dream, he's waiting for a breakthrough, he's out selling and selling and selling, trying to get life. But, of course, the thing is, he's got custody of his son, this little lad. And he's dragging his son around all the time, from pillar to post, trying to make the best for both of them. Maybe home was like that for you, a scene of desperation. They sleep in hostels and they sleep on park benches and they sleep in a toilet in a railway station. Charging around from sales pitch to sales pitch with a medical computer that the NHS over in America, whatever that is, doesn't want to buy. Working so hard for a living that actually they're missing out on life. And I think that that's becoming a real problem in our society today. I was chatting with a friend, a black lady from the Caribbean the other day. And she said whenever she goes home, that's home for her, the Caribbean. Whenever she goes back to the Caribbean, even though she comes from the Caribbean, they know, the people over there know, she doesn't live there anymore. She lives in the UK. Do you know how they know that? because she walks so fast. Absolutely true. Because she walks so... She doesn't think she walks fast, but compared to the laid-back people in Caribbean. We chase after life in this country, don't we? Our hearts are running, our feet are rushing around, our hearts are rushing around, our thoughts are swirling in our minds. I wonder why. Why do we chase so much? What are we chasing after? And I think somewhere deep at the heart of it, the answer is we want to belong. That's a word that's been given to this church just recently. Our leadership team are trying to work out what it means and how we're going to achieve it for anyone who wants to belong to this church. But it's a deep human need to belong. To be fully known, to be fully loved, fully able to flourish as you and I have been made to flourish. We want to live the dream. And it's a dream that is planted in each and every one of our hearts, because it's a dream that comes from the time when we were made in the image of God Himself. Genesis. The Garden of Eden, that's a place of intimacy and value where every single person belongs. And actually, God would say that that is still your home and my home, Eden. That's where we're supposed to be. But as you know, of course, we lost it all. Adam and Eve ate the Bramley apple, didn't they? Didn't even make a crumble or an apple pie. They just ate it as was off the tree. And everything was gone. And that's a story. Happened thousands of years before it was written about. It's a story, but it's a story to help us to understand something important. That we, humanity, chose to walk away from that place of perfect homeliness, Eden. And now we just chase around looking for satisfaction, looking for wholeness, like Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness, trying to find something that gives us that understanding of home and security. Dorothy just wants to get home, but says Paul. Paul's one of the writers in the Gospels, but says Paul, we are so drenched in the ways of this world. We're so engulfed in them that we don't even know that we're lost anymore. We know that there is a home. We know that there is something that has got to be better than this life with its hospitals and its blue lights that flash around our streets. But we don't know how to get there anymore. Like my friend who didn't notice that she was walking faster than everyone else, because the world that she lives in makes her do that. Life in 2017 makes our hearts beat fast. And Paul says that what the world does to us is actually it leads us on a merry dance. We think we're living well. But actually, he says, we're lost. But. This is Christmas. Eden was thousands of years ago. We've been going in the wrong direction ever since. But this is Christmas. And what is Christmas all about? Christmas is all about when God came to us. We've wandered so far from God that we don't know our way back. That's the definition of being lost. But God is huge. He's bigger than our galaxies. And He can see all things, and He sees that humanity is lost, and that's why He comes at Christmas. Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, to bring us home, to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's the story of the Bible, isn't it? God trying to lead His people to the promised land, to the land that flows with milk and honey, i.e. the land of belonging, the place where we're supposed to be. Why make room for God at Christmas? This miraculous baby that we call Jesus, why would we do that? Here's three things, very quickly, that I believe happen when we make room for Jesus. And for the first one, I want you just to think of a word. I want you to think of a word that would describe for you the direction you think our society is going in today. What direction is our society going in? Just think of one word that describes that. Turn to your neighbour and tell your neighbour what that word is. Turn to them and say, what do you think? What's the direction? How many of those words are either this word or a word very like it? Downhill. Folks, true community is only found in God. True community is only found in God. I'm going to explain it like this. I don't know if you've ever played this game. This game is called Jenga. And it's a game, a tower built out of blocks. And the tower is really strong. When you first build it, you could stand on it. Individual blocks that make this tower and make it really strong. And then the idea of the game is that one by one, you take the blocks out, but you're trying desperately not to let the tower fall over. And the loser is the one that brings it crashing to the ground. I wonder if you know who invented that game. Who invented that game? Let me tell you this. The inventor was God. God. But not as a game that you play on your kitchen table, but as society, as community. Peter was one of the guys that followed this Jesus around, and he came to realize, he saw the miracles, he heard the teaching, and he came to realize, hang on a minute, this guy is actually different to humanity. This guy is actually God himself. And he said this, Peter, he says, as you come to him, Jesus he means, as you come to Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans, chosen by God, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual home. You also, like living stones, see, if we make room for God in our lives, if we follow this guy Jesus as Peter has followed him, we will start to become like him. We'll take on the attributes of Jesus. We become living stones, living with what? Living with heaven inside of us. What's that like? Well, Paul writes to the Galatians, and in his letter to the Galatians, he writes a whole list of the kind of things you can expect to grow inside you if you live like Jesus. Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentle, la-di-da-di-da-di-da, on and on it goes. If we make room for Jesus, two things will happen. Number one, we'll become nicer people. Have a look at that list. Think of your living, your life this week. Is there anything on that list where you think, I wish I'd been a little bit more gentle when I spoke to my wife, when I spoke to my child? I wish I had a little bit more self-control in that particular instance. We become nicer people. But also, number two, if you make room for Jesus in your life, we get those qualities more and more inside of us, and therefore we impact our community more and more with them. Living stones, people living with heaven inside them, hearts where God dwells, and together, naturally, they build a healthy, strong community. My, how we need to regain that sort of community, don't we? Think of all the reasons why we might use the word downhill for our society today. Rising crime, divorce rates still going up, selfishness, greed, our children getting into gangs because they feel that they're undervalued. We could do with a strong and healthy community, couldn't we? But the truth is this, that as a society, as a nation, we're walking away from God. As a nation, we no longer read the Bible in our schools, in our workplaces, in our homes. We no longer pray to God. We no longer believe that he is a God who is alive and really does take an interest in our lives. That's what prayer is. It's speaking to a God because he's going to come and interact. And so what happens? Well, what happens is we go back to the game of Jenga. What happens when you start to take the building blocks out? Guys, the whole thing collapses. It falls to the ground. Our communities start to fall apart. The selfishness increases along with the crime and the violence. You have to look after yourself because there's no one out there who's going to look after you for you. We've swapped we for me. Everything is about my wants, my likes, my desires. God says no. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Think about other people. Jesus said there's only two commandments. Love God and love the person sat next to you as you would love yourself. And it sounds so easy to do, but it's so difficult. And if we don't get the first one right, I can tell you we'll never get the second one fully right. Christianity is about radical communities that make a difference to the world around them. It's about you and me opening, making room for God and impacting the world out there. And I can tell you that as a church we're beginning to do that. One of the things that we tasked ourselves with was scrubbing out on the lamppost anything that had the word massage written on it and a phone number. Because we believe in the sanctity of marriage in this church. We believe in the safety of children and women and the vulnerable. Have you noticed that we're winning out there? Have you noticed that they're drying up? We're changing Chadwell Heath. That's the first thing. Number one. Number two, another film. I love this film.
At this point in Martin's talk, a movie clip was shown depicting the lead character's escape from prison through a long, dark, watery, filthy tunnel.
Shawshank Redemption, another of my favourite films. I don't know if it's going to be on over Christmas, but it's another of my favourite films. Make room. Make room to be free. To be made free. I love the story of Christmas. Mary and Joseph sat at home. There's a knock at the door. It's an angel. The angel comes asking them, are you prepared to be living stones? Are you prepared to partner with God? Maybe the angel is asking you that very question right now. Will you believe? Will you trust? Even though you don't fully understand, will you give it a go? And Mary and Joseph both say, yeah, okay, we'll give it a go. It sounds ridiculous. I've got no idea how this is going to happen. But we'll go for it. We'll believe you because you're God. Immediately the words tip off their tongue. They come under the protection of heaven. The story goes like this. Jesus gets born, and without going into the politics of it, the local king, King Herod, does not want to make room for another king. That's the selfishness that we have in our world today. He doesn't want to make room for another king. And so this fledgling family are in danger. Herod's got the knives out now. For a Jewish boy, having a knife out is not a good thing anyway, if you remember that. But it's Herod with his hand on the blade, and that's even worse. And so God comes from heaven, and he says, hey, guys, go. Hide, run, get away. Immediately protect. You remember the wise men? Go back a different way. Immediately. All of a sudden, by making room for God, heaven is protecting them, releasing them from the ways of the world, giving them freedom. And that is what heaven always does. Always does. Think of Israel, how God fought for them, protected them, guided them. Remember the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire at night, providing for them. Water in the desert, manna, quail, whatever they needed. Because that is what God does, my friends. When you make room for Jesus, you open yourself up to heaven in ways that benefit you hugely. God is interested in our communities, of course, but he loves you and me as if we were the only people alive on the planet. What would that mean to you? What would that mean to you if you made room for God and all of a sudden heaven started to be at work in your life? Maybe you're coming up to some big decisions in your life, big things happening in your life. You're not sure which way to go. Maybe you need some sense to come out of your confusion. Let me tell you, he'll do that for you. Maybe you're choosing subjects for your exams. Maybe you're moving job. Maybe you're thinking of moving home. Maybe you're under threat. Maybe your health isn't as good as it should be. Maybe your marriage is starting to hit a wall. Goodness me, I wouldn't be stood here today married if it wasn't for God and the power of God at work in my marriage. Marriage is such a difficult thing, isn't it? Never straightforward. Things always crop up. Marriage is about change. We're creatures of habit. We hate change, don't we? And yet marriages change from the very first day when you move in together. You've got to get used to each other's little ways, haven't you? Our first 2 years were a nightmare. I don't know if Mrs. Court's here tonight. Let's hope not. Our first 2 years were a nightmare. Fighting all the time to find out who it was that was going to wear the trousers. I haven't seen them since. Mrs. Court threw a wedding ring at me one night. What does that mean? I don't know. I picked it up, I put it on the bedside table and went to sleep. And just as you're working out how to get along with each other, kids come along. Enough said. All your money, your time, your energy, gone. Wiped out. It's not that life gets put on hold for a few years. It's that life gets stolen, doesn't it? Match of the day becomes Beauty and the Beast on the television. Washing up, tidying around the house, it more than doubles. How does it do that? Do you know what Mrs. Court is looking forward to? When my kids get their own place and she can go around and trash it. We are going to take a black sack of dirty washing. I'm not even joking, you were just going to strewn it around the place, up the stairs, over the banister, on the settee. We're going to save our washing up bowls from months and months ago so that the Weetabix is like really brick hard. And then we're going to put them in the toilet, next to the phone. That's if we can get rid of them at all. Anyway, there we go. And then, if you do manage to get rid of them, what happens? You hit your 40s. 40s is when boredom sets in. Same house, same job, same old, same old. This is when men get tattoos and sports cars. I don't know what you women do, but I know that it's a really hard time for married couples because you want excitement in your life. And we can look funny places for that. And as you come out of that in one piece, hopefully, and we pray as one piece as a married couple, then your bodies start changing, don't they? They get a mind of their own, don't they? What used to be isn't anymore. I thought a hot flush was something you did to a radiator. Before you know it, everything that was firm becomes flabby. Your hair falls out with your teeth. You go from 5'10" to 5'8". And if you're not careful, the world around you shrinks as well. It's not easy, is it? Don't you deserve a leg up, a little help once in a while, a little release from some of life's battles? In the Shawshank Redemption that we saw there, Andy sees that he's being imprisoned by life. And he knows that he's innocent and he wants to break free. Many people liken the scene that we've just watched to Jesus on Good Friday, going down through the depths of all the dirt and the rubbish of our lives, but coming out on Easter Sunday. New birth, new life, newborn. Folks, that is exactly what God wants for you and for me, for us to be released, for us to break free and to break out. This is the promise of Jesus. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I'll give them eternal life. They will never perish. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all things. And because he's greater than all things, nothing can snatch them from my hand. Why? Because we have a heaven powered life. And then lastly, for I must finish, make room to be loved more. If Christmas is about anything, it's about God's love for you and for me. It's about a God who loves us so much that he could not bear to watch us throw it all away. A God who comes and joins us in the mess of this world, bringing with him the power of heaven and the hope of change. Folks, here's the truth. You are going to make room for a lot of things this Christmas time. You're going to make room for more turkey on your plate. You're going to make room for some presents under your tree. You're going to make room for friends and family to come round your house. Let me just remind you that all of those things are about me. I wonder if you'll make room for God this Christmas time. And let's lift our eyes. Let's think about changing ourselves and about changing the community that we live in. And we can only do that if we make room for God. I pray that this Christmas will be all that you want it to be. But I pray too that you'll think what you're making room for.
Have a really great Christmas. Amen.